The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 343. I am one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Pride of Long Island, Colin Moriarty.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right.
You sold me some news right before this. Big news for you.
Wow, he just threw you under the bus.
Yeah. You don't have to talk about it.
No, that's fine.
You're having a baby.
I am.
Wow, congrats.
I thought I was fat, but I've actually been pregnant.
It's a junior situation.
I was saying that I reached 70,000 Twitter followers, and I'm very honored by this, and I appreciate this. I'm in no world worthy of having 70,000 Twitter followers.
I think you're worthy of them.
You should see my Twitter feed.
I've seen it once in a while.
It's a lot of hockey.
A
lot of nonsense.
A little bit of 311 in there.
A lot of 311,
no doubt.
And that sultry third voice you hear in the ever-rotating third chair is the best beard in the business, Marty Sleeve.
What if it actually rotated and I threw up?
Oh, wait a minute.
I wanted to say, funny, you should say that. Because if the room, if the podcast room wasn't cramped enough, and we didn't have enough garbage in here already.
We had a lot of garbage.
Jared Petty, ladies and gentlemen, has purchased and financed the ever-rotating third chair. I'm going to get it. Colin Vamp.
Wait, so Jared legitimately purchased. Holy crap! This is amazing.
Don't hit the camera.
Yep, that's video. Should I sit on it?
If you want to.
Yeah.
It obviously isn't as comfortable as the other chairs. Yeah. That's my one knock against the ever rotating third chair.
Right.
If you don't want to use it, don't feel like you have to use it.
Okay. This is. I'm gonna see how it rotates.
Rotate a little bit just for. There it is. If you're watching the video, there's.
Yeah, it rotates.
All right, so now you want to move to the real chair?
Comfortable chair.
That's fine. We can leave it right there. It's a ceremonial gift.
Ghost of Andrew Goldfarb, Sinina.
Oh, don't even bring it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody having a good week so far? Tuesday.
Yeah. It's
getting closer to E3.
Yeah, we had like a long E3 meeting today.
Yeah.
That's what threw off the podcast beyond schedule.
A little bit. Yeah.
Man, oh man.
100%. Not a little bit.
It's so real when we start talking about it.
Yeah. Right.
Are you excited?
I saw some of the games I'm covering, so yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. I think that's when it gets fun, right? We always talk about it in a sense of like, oh, E3 is close. And it's the work and the hours you think about, right? But when you're there, once you're there and you know what you're doing, it's fun.
Once the press conferences are over, I feel like it's good. I feel like a lot of people are like, I think we are being little whiners when we talk about E3.
We amp it up.
But I also don't think, E3 is fun if you can just go. But the thing is, since E3 is not a consumer show, everyone there, or most people there, are just stressed the fuck out.
Yeah, right.
Whether they're devs on the floor for 12 hours at a time or us running around like a bunch of assholes, it really is it's the hardest week of the year.
Yeah.
And, so it is very stressful, but I think it's like my 8th E3 or something. I don't know, 9th?
Yeah.
Something like that. And I think it's 8th. I think 8th E3.
Yeah.
And, I'm excited about it. This is going to be a different year for me, Greg, though, because I'm not going to the Sony conference this year.
Whoa.
No.
Saboteur.
Yeah.
The first time in...
First time in a long time. You and I used to go together, then I kept going even when you didn't.
I've only missed one.
Yeah, last year's.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the expert this year for
the panel with me.
Yeah, for the PlayStation conference, I'm not going.
Hatfield.
Well, I realized we were talking about in the meeting, very candidly, it's like I go to this every year and I tweet and basically I'm just stranded, like not in the war room, not able to do anything for hours. Like I could just watch it on the computer with a 10-second delay.
Without having to travel through, you know, L.A. at night.
Exactly. Then we could do rewind theaters, and we could do that. You know,
for me, it was the PlayStation 4 event, right? I was still in charge of PlayStation coverage when that happened. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I didn't go to New York for the reveal, so I could stay here and be the expert witness, or, you know, have, like, we lend our expertise to it.
Expert witness?
And
what a crime scene.
At first, it's like...
We thought it was going to be, but it ended up being really good.
At first, it feels like a little bit deflating, right? Because, like, the excitement of going there and being the guy there. Yeah. But then, yeah, you're totally like... Yeah, every time you go, you start tweeting, your Twitter maxes out, you get in trouble, and then you're on these delays, you're sending texts.
Yeah, and honestly, I like thinking back to last year, like I loved being in the war room when, you know, the Halo 5 trailer went on, when the PS4 price came out. Yeah.
When we were on the conference.
Yeah, that was what the two of you go for. That was ridiculous.
That was insane. I've never heard a reaction like that.
Yeah, that was really fun.
That's not how mics work.
Well, you know that.
All right. That's ladies and gentlemen. Podcast Beyond is IGN's PlayStation podcast, the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet. You can get it every Tuesday as an MP3. Sorry, the E3 meeting made this one late. Then Wednesday, you can get it as a video file on IGN.com, on YouTube.com, /IGN.
Can we get it as a FLAC?
No, that's a pain
in the butt.
Lossless
audio.
How are there so many stupid audio
formats? There's so many audio formats.
Can we just get one and be done with
it? What's the deal with audio formats?
When we start doing the Game Over Greggy show, we learned
so many
the
freaking
horror,
things to
the
jump
fucking
through.
Horror. Yeah. Of getting that stuff up and like they're like, this is not in the right, this is enough megahertz. Right.
I can't use this on my Zune.
Download the IGN app, watch Podcast Beyond there. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
There are only 7 items on the list.
Only
this week,
7.
Which is maybe the shortest Roper Report I've ever done in my entire life. In years.
That's because there haven't been leaks.
No, not yet. Soon. I feel it.
Well, they come the day of E3 now.
Yeah. Well, not
the
Microsoft.
Day before. The day before. Oh, yeah. Well, Microsoft said. Then Beyond Two Souls leaked the day before. Or the morning of.
And then the PSP Go launched mistakenly
and that
through
was
Core
huge, and that
Saturday
was huge.
Before
And the PSP Go was the reason why we thought that the PlayStation 4 reveal was going to be a crime scene.
Yep.
Right.
Number one.
Locked it down.
Far Cry 4 is real.
Yeah. Ba-ba-ba!
Ubisoft revealed that the game is slated to come out on November 18th, 2014 in North America and November 20th, 2014 in Europe, and it'll be on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC. Yeah. It takes place in the fictional Himalayan country known as Kriyat, where players will be pitted against, quote, a despotic, self-appointed king, end quote.
Yeah, wears purple.
It's open world and is under development at Ubisoft Montreal with Ubisoft Toronto, Ubisoft Kiev, Ubisoft Shanghai, and Red Storm supporting Montreal and Far Cry 4's development. As an aside, Ubisoft revealed that Far Cry 3, which is a fantastic game, shipped a stunning 9 million units.
That is a lot of units.
That's a lot. Far Cry 3 was awesome. I'm excited
It really was awesome.
We were also able to report that the creative director of the game is Alex Hutchinson, who was also the creative director on AC3.
In relation to Melissa Hutchinson.
Melissa Hutchinson. That's Clementine, right?
Yeah, Clementine.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No?
No.
All right. Real quick before you move on, you mentioned the country of Kiev in there.
It's not a country, but yeah. It's a city in the Ukraine.
In college, people broke into our house, and one of the things they stole were my roommate, Parker's frozen chicken Kievs.
Oh.
God, that is...
Podcast Beyond, number one PlayStation podcast on the internet.
I keep thinking you're going to say number one PlayStation podcast on IGN. I'm like,
I almost screw it up sometimes to say that, but it's true. So what do you want to argue about that too?
Chicken Kievs.
Number two. The PlayStation Now beta, which has been running on PlayStation 3 since early this year, has officially migrated to PlayStation 4. Keep an eye on your inboxes for the invites to the beta. People have been tweeting us, telling them that they're getting
them. I'm checking mine.
Sony claims that on PS3, private beta testers logged more than 50,000 hours testing the service, which actually doesn't seem like that much.
No.
It's still slated to launch in the U.S. this summer, and according to Sony's Todd Liss, it's set to launch with hundreds of titles, both first-party and third-party. Gaikai.
Doesn't look like I got in.
No.
Well, I've got to be on some list. Yeah, they got
to
know that.
This fall, I'm excited to play the PS3 version of Far Cry 4 on my PS4.
Oh!
Like that. You're going to save yourself a buck or two.
That's a video. Wait, everyone, just lock that in. We'll do a video this fall.
Keep it locked to IGN.
I'll send a video support request.
That's how we get videos at IGN made.
Number three.
That's how the sausage gets made.
Killzone Shadowfall is getting an all-new co-op mode. It's coming in the form of DLC called Intercept and arrives this June. The co-op mode will allow up to 4 players to run around 4 special maps from the single-player campaign as they intercept military transmissions and will allow the use of 4 combat roles, Assault, Marksman, Medic, and Tactician. Interestingly, the Hellgas will have their own classes, too. I don't know if they're talking about that yet, but that sounds cool. Killzone was a good game. Actually, a great game, and I really enjoyed it. I feel like it kind of came and went.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to go back to play it. I really liked the campaign. I really liked the multiplayer.
You never liked multiplayer, either.
No, sure don't. Actually, I tweeted yesterday, talking about Twitter and the things I tweet, that Watch Dogs has online trophies, mm-hmm. which made me cry out in anguish and agony, because that means I have to go online and play with other people to get my platinum trophy.
But Watch Dogs is sort of always online, so you kind of pretend you're in single player.
I could.
Yeah.
I always pretend I'm in single player by not talking to anyone.
Would you like one out of left fucking field, Colin?
Yes, please. Why not?
We have a hit of the week. Oh, his name is Rob Wood. He's in Alabama. He says, "Dear Colin, Greg, and ever-rotating third chair, Beyond."
Yeah.
I've recently gotten PS3 and PS4 and am really wanting to grow my friends list since all my friends play on Xbox. With Watch Dogs coming out next week and some cool multiplayer modes, I would love to have some people to play these modes with. I know that Colin doesn't like to talk to people while in multiplayer, which is cool, but I would love to have some people that are around my age, 33, that enjoy gaming to play with. Just wondering, great show. I think you should let go of the age part, Rob. That seems like that's going to be asking a
question.
Well,
what are 33-year-olds? IKEA? If you go to IKEA and hand out your gamer tag?
Sure. That's how you, you're in your khaki shorts and your polo.
Sure.
You're at some freaking dumbass kid's bris. You're looking man, I'm enjoying this mimosa. Are you playing any of that cool Watch Dogs multiplayer?
Man, your 33-year-old experience is different than mine.
Yours? What do you mean? And then you go to IKEA. That's the same person.
Oh, I thought the bris was at IKEA.
No, Jesus Christ.
Yurds.
That's, well, the food's cheap.
Yeah. You get meatballs and hot dogs afterwards. Don't want to talk about
IKEA
that anymore.
Is the fucking worst, man.
I hate IKEA.
Oh, it's just the worst. It's
the destroyer of relationships.
It's so fantastic. Big. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyways, everybody, if you want to be friends with Rob Wood in Alabama, you hit up the Big Daddy Rob, all one word.
BDR.
PSN, the Big Daddy Rob, of course. Hit of the week means you go message him Beyond and you become his friend.
Yeah. You guys have a Facebook group, right? There's a Beyond, like a cool Beyond Facebook
there
fan
is.
Group.
They
yeah.
post way too much.
Yeah. So
I'll tell you that right now. So somebody who checks his Facebook feed every so often, I'm like, God.
I'm an active member of the Unlocked one. And that's like all those guys, like when Titanfall came out, they all got stoked and, you know, traded gamer tags and stuff. So you guys should be on there.
Stoked! I'm so stoked! You think someone out there is getting stoked for Drakengard 3 right now? I'm sure that
let's do some sick kick flips and then exchange our tags. We're 23-year-old gamers. This is how we do it. Can't wait to be 10 years from now when we're going to Briss's.
You're done.
At IKEA. You're done, son. Punkhead.
Number four. PlayStation 4 was the best-selling console in the U.S. in April, besting Xbox One for the fourth consecutive month. Sony hasn't revealed specific hardware units sold, however, so all we know is that PS4 was on top. In terms of games, Titanfall on Xbox 360, Xbox One, and PC was the best-selling game of the month, and I'll note that Xbox 360's iteration was the best-selling, Greg. So I was right about my little hypothesis.
Wait, and that's year-to-date so far? Or was
no,
that
just for
month?
That month.
Yeah.
I don't. The numbers are loose. I'm playing fast and loose with the numbers,
I don't
Greg.
Think that's an official win, though.
I mean, to me, that's not surprising.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, just purely by install base.
Other PlayStation games that charted in the top 10 include Call of Duty Ghosts at number 2 on PS4 and PS3, NBA 2K14 at number 3 on PS4 and PS3, Lego, this is when the Lego smorgasbord begins, Lego The Hobbit at number 5 on PS4, PS3, and Vita, Lego Movie Video Game at number 6 on PS4, PS3, and Vita, Lego Marvel Super Heroes number 7 on PS4, PS3, and Vita.
Dynamite game.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 at number 8 on PS4 and PS3. Grand Theft Auto 5 at number 9 on PS3. And Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag at number 10 on PS4 and PS3. The latter two have been on the charts ever since they came out.
Wow.
Number 5.
Pregnant pause. I liked it. Colin
Everything's
his,
pregnant
Colin
today.
Let his words marinate. I like it. Nah. Colin lets his words marinate.
Ubisoft has revealed that Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag has shipped over 11 million units.
Here! Quite the hole for me pirates, booty!
Making it a bona fide commercial success with gamers and pirates alike, I guess. The publisher also revealed that 10 different Ubisoft studios are working on Assassin's Creed Unity, the upcoming Assassin's Creed game due out this fall. Ubisoft operates 26 studios in total, meaning that more than a third of them are engaged with Unity. They are. Put a Ubisoft in front of every one of these.
Put a Ubi on it.
Toronto, Kiev, Singapore, Shanghai, Annecy, Montpellier. It's Montpellier, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Bucharest, Quebec, which I guess is another studio I never even heard of, and Chengdu.
You got a Chengdu story from college?
This one. No.
Wait, Chengdu? What the hell is that?
I have no idea.
They're just making them up now.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we got a Ubisoft studio in Chengdu.
Yeah. Oh, Ubisoft Topeka.
We're like, Chengdu.
Oh, nailed it.
That can be the strapline if that game doesn't pan out.
because I'm sure they're the lead studio on it. Not Montreal.
Video games make me happy.
You got some friends.
Number six, more Ubisoft. This is a lot of Ubisoft news because they had their financials released. Ubisoft also spoke about its upcoming long-awaited and long-delayed open-world game Watch Dogs and expects it to sell 6.3 million copies. Considering the success of its Far Cry and Assassin's Creed games, it wouldn't come as much as a surprise if they managed to pull this off. Still seems pretty lofty to me. I'm excited about it. Dan's playing it now for review. We have to wait till next week to learn more.
Yeah, I mean,
Marty's played a lot
A lot of it at preview events. I've dug it. You know,
and Ryan has some questions for you.
Yeah, Ryan, hit me.
He writes into beyond@ign.com, says, Beyond.
Beyond.
Yep.
It seems like Watch_Dogs had the world wrapped around its finger after E3 2012 and the reveal of the first next-gen game. The hype train and media exposure they got was incredible, but it didn't last. Mm-hmm. It seems that almost every story about Watch_Dogs coming out lately has been negative. The delay, downgraded visuals, and now a review embargo that doesn't lift until its release date. That last bit worries me. Is there any chance that a game in development by over 1,000 people for that long could be bad enough that they wouldn't want to release early reviews?
I mean, a lot of those facts are sort of hearsay.
Hearsay and rumor.
Hearsay and whatnot. Yeah, I mean, I guess starting from the first one, yeah, I mean, it sucks that the game was revealed 2 years ago at E3, and now it's coming out like a week before two E3s later.
Right.
That's the nature of certain games. How many E3s was Spore at? You know, how many E3s has Last Guardian been at?
Sure. Fantasia.
Fantasia, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, a lot of times there are reasons to worry if embargoes aren't till the day. But I think that's different. If embargoes aren't till the day and we don't get copies or we don't get to play the game,
different story.
It's usually like Spider-Man, if we had to go buy it, the game, which I think we had to do.
Yeah.
That's always something to worry about. Whereas embargoes, like Transistor's embargo went up today. That game's rad.
Right.
And it came out. So, yeah.
I think the way we always talk about it, you know, you want to have one focused push, right? Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to do that is, like, Sony always toys around with the fact, like, their embargo for, like, an Uncharted or Last of Us or whatever, it's to be like maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks out, something like that, to give you time to build and get excited for it. Whereas this is more, this game is awesome, and I can click right here to have it tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of the idea for it.
Yeah. I don't know what the sweet spot with embargoes are, because like Mario Kart's embargo was like a week ago,
right,
and the game doesn't come out for another week.
And that's a long time.
That's
dumb.
For me, loses the point.
Yeah.
You bury it a little bit.
But I think the sweet spot is Monday or Sunday before a game comes out.
I agree.
So it's not like we don't have access to Watch Dogs. We do. You know, Dan's been playing it, and
from what you've played of it, you like it.
Yeah, I played the first 5 or 6 hours. And I've really dug it. And we said people's interests are tailing off. You know, according to our traffic, it's not, because we've been doing making of series and news stories and different features, and people are still hungry for that.
I think it might be just that, in a way, people don't talk about it as much. Like when it got debuted at E3, right? That's, we talked about it all the time.
Absolutely.
This button, the other, and then by the time,
and then all of a sudden the Division was out and it got delayed.
And the Crew.
Yeah.
Loving the Crew.
That was Drake.
Is that one of the songs?
That was Drake, Drizzy.
Loving the Crew. It's like going to be over the, you're driving around doing donuts.
Loving the Crew. Do you love the Crew? I love the Crew. It's coming soon.
Did you yawn halfway through that?
Yeah, I'm tired.
Put yourself to sleep.
I think I just got
to
hit the notes. That's all I was trying to do.
Number seven. Final thing on the list. Not much in the way of new game announcements for PlayStation platforms this week, but there are a couple of things to report, Greg.
Yeah.
First and foremost, Child of Light, Ubisoft's amazing Japanese-inspired RPG, is coming to PlayStation Vita.
Yeah!
On July 1st in North America and July 2nd in Europe.
That's huge. I'm very excited for that.
I am too, but I already beat it.
See, I haven't played it yet.
And 100%ed it.
I looked at it, and I was like, ooh, that looks like a game. And then I watched Christine play it, and I was like, ooh, there's no dialogue in this thing, and it seems like it'd be a better Vita game on the train. I was like, how am I going to do this?
A lot of dialogue. It's not spoken, you mean.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry, I'm...
There's a narrator. Talks every once in a while.
Yeah, but not every time. All right, I for sure watched her play, and I had to read something. I was like, ugh, on a TV? What is it, 1920?
What? That was Benny Hill, I think.
It was out of tune in it.
Interestingly, Child of Light will be available at digital and retail, which is strange. That's what it says.
That wasn't even available for retail in the U.S. In Europe, there were special editions available.
Yeah, I think that's what it is for Vita. I don't know anything. That's what it says, though.
All right.
Could be made up.
Probably made up.
And Worms Battlegrounds is coming to both PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, launching on May 30th in Europe and June 3rd in North America.
I think that was retail, and that one confused me. I saw box for it.
It's the first Worms game, next-gen Worms game.
Oh.
Or this-gen Worms game.
This-gen?
Whatever the fuck it is we're in now.
So, Colin.
Yeah.
We like to intersplice the reader mail.
Sure do.
You like to read the news.
Yeah, from time
to time. That's
how
the show works. It's how it's worked for 343 episodes.
Yes.
Well, he hasn't been on there for that many.
He's listened for most of them. He used to sit behind the wall.
He would read the news as a listener.
Right.
Yeah.
Just outside. This would be a great segment.
I joined the podcast episode 98.
Yeah.
We have something to introduce, a new segment.
Oh,
that is somewhere between news and reader mail, so I'm putting it here. Mm. It's called the OK State Update. Do you remember this from last week? We have a young man named Tommy. He took a 3-year hiatus from dating. Yes. Got a girlfriend. She was an ex-bot. They finally consummated. Yeah, right. Then she started playing some of his PlayStation video games.
Sure.
We read about
it. They consummated?
Yeah.
That
was the big part of his email last time. It only took like 15 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Remember, this was part
of the
email.
Oh,
wow. Well, go back and listen to last week.
Dear, like, Tommy writes back. Tommy gives the OK State update for the week. He says, "Hey, it's Tommy from Oklahoma State University, and I just wanted to inform you of how flippin' awesome it was to have my email read. Just to let you know, Michelle gamed for 5 more hours that night. She came over the next night and gamed on for 7 hours, plus she made macaroni."
That's college,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. "Then she came by the next night and finished The Last of Us off in 8 hours straight. Then we ordered some stuffed crust and added a few more minutes of consummation." Smiley emoticon. "I now have her going through the Uncharted series. She is loving it. Pretty cool, eh?"
Sounds like she's using you.
Yeah. Hey, he's getting a macaroni and consummation.
Your stuffed crust.
And your PlayStation 3. Good for you, Tommy.
Tommy's living the dream at OK State, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like that segment.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Tommy's a good kid. Tommy, you got to keep
writing. Keep us updated, Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy's
can't
joint.
Wait. I can't wait for the bitter breakup. What happens?
She's eventually going to run out of exclusives to play.
Yeah.
Then you got to get a PS4, I guess.
Got that Beyond Two Souls coming still. Heavy Rain.
Man, Heavy Rain, yeah.
Infamous 2.
Infamous 2.
Yeah. Infamous Festival of Blood.
Haze.
Lair.
What the hell was that?
That was a dragon.
What did you just do?
That was a dragon.
No, I know what Lair is. What did you just do?
It's a dragon game by Factor
5. He should see if she wants to do folding.
Folding at home, they disconnected. Yeah. You can't do it anymore. Oh. They cured cancer with it.
Well, congratulations.
That's how Greg didn't have cancer.
Oh, sure.
It was a funny intersection.
They
could
just fold. I don't know. They go down to the quad and do laundry and then fold that.
Yeah, literally fold.
Yeah.
Here's a fun story. There once was an MTV show called Undressed. Do you remember this?
Yeah, of course. I loved Undressed.
Yeah,
I loved
it was too. right where we all needed to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In our puberty thing.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this one?
Puberty thing.
You remember this one where the kids, the two couples stayed in their dorm over some holiday break and they were supposed to be the only two couples in there and each couple thought they were the only one doing it and they were gonna have like sexy time in the dorm all the time. And it was just like, what dorm is open during whatever holiday? They closed my dorms in college.
No, my dorms were open.
My dorms were open. I took winter term class one semester, but the only kids who were there were foreign exchange students.
Yeah.
And so walking down the halls, I would never hear English and would always smell like really exotic ethnic food.
Do you think that's where the song "Talk Dirty to Me" by Jason Derulo came?
I don't know that song. I'm not sure if that's a real human being or not. Jason Derulo?
Talk Dirty to Me.
Oh, I know that song. I don't know how I didn't get that from the title.
No. It's a dynamite jam.
Smells like Turkish food.
So I was really weird.
He's just walking through your halls one day. He's like, this would be a good song.
Everyone in college was always excited to like, I'm going home. And I'm like, no, because I don't like being around people. So I'm like, I was always excited. I always leave at the last possible second to extract as much alone time in those dorms as humanly possible. Yeah. I'd like bounce out of like the 23rd and then come back like the 27th and no one would be back and I would just be playing. I remember it was like my freshman or sophomore year, I got from Nintendo Power the Zelda disc that was GameCube that had like Zelda 1, 2, Majora's Mask, and Ocarina of Time on it. I just played the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Those were good times. Ordering Chinese food.
I feel like one of the reasons you really liked The Last of Us was because you're like, I'd like to live there. Like, I could do that.
All the annoying people are gone.
Yeah.
All the time I want to read my books.
Yeah. If I could just stay away from the infected, I think I'll be all right.
Live in a quarantine zone.
Yeah.
Just pet giraffes the whole time.
All right. Let's check in with the Andrew Goldfarb Memorial upcoming list of PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Cool. So you exchanged
a few. I refuse to ever write it down. I don't care.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. On PlayStation 4, Sparkle 2 comes out. That's a digital game. Transistor, the 311 record from 1997,
Marty
is not
it.
Available on PlayStation 4, but the game Transistor is available digitally.
Sure.
And Marty reviewed it.
Reviewed it. I liked it quite a bit.
And we'll talk about Transistor and Wolfenstein, I assume.
That's you reviewed that.
Yep. And then Wolfenstein The New Order is available retail and digitally. PlayStation 3, Drakengard 3 is available retail and digitally. I think you gave it a 4.8. Mugen Souls Z comes out retail and digital. If the other Mugen Souls game is any indication, it's going to be bad. But who knows? Maybe it's great all of a sudden.
Nope.
R-Type Dimensions comes out digitally. I want to play that very badly. Because I like the R-Type games. And Wolfenstein The New Order comes out retail and digitally. On Vita, the only game is Sparkle 2 digitally.
Sparkle.
Now, there are some other things to discuss.
Finally.
PS1 classics, Japanese games. Greg, we went over some of these last week. Dragon Beat Legend of Pinball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Heroin Dream 2. Ooh. Not the original Heroin Dream. We thought the original Heroin Dream was going to come out, and it's not about actually having a heroin dream.
Oh.
It's about, it's an actual, it's an actual simulator where you're playing like a singing, like a vocal star, and you're making
that
her popular.
No, it sounds awful.
Like Britney's dog dance beat.
Britney's dog beat. Britney beats dog.
Britney Spears' dog is out on the loose. Can you beat it to death before it kills everyone in town?
Neo Planet's out, which I think is a game with tons of Japanese text, so I have no idea who's going to actually be able to play it.
Sure.
About terraforming planets.
Nice.
Sarara's Little Shop is a RPG, a JRPG that where you run a shop in a role-playing game.
It's like a little genre. Shopkeeper.
And Tokyo 23 Seppuku Wars is also.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You played Top Shop, the board game on PS1?
Yes.
Oh my God. Did you ever play Top Shop?
No.
That was like our stupid college experience. We bought that out of like a bargain bin at GameStop. Yeah. And yeah, we played that all the time. It was a PS1 game you put in, and it was you bought shops in the mall.
Yeah.
And then you try to put the other shops out of business.
Yeah.
This is what we did in college while you were sitting there playing Majora's Mask.
And eating your Chinese food all alone.
Yeah, you like the Chinese along. Food?
Watching the Cosby Show. For some reason, I have a weird connection between the Chinese food order and Cosby Show because it was on Nick at Night around 8 or 9 when I would order my Chinese food. And I would just be eating while I was watching the Huxtables.
Nice.
PlayStation 2 classic, Shin Megami Tensei, Digital Devil Saga is out. And that is all she wrote.
Well, then, topic of the week. Let's talk about the games you two reviewed. You did the Wolfenstein.
Mm-hmm.
You did the Transistor.
Yeah.
You gave Transistor a 9.0.
Yeah.
You gave Wolfenstein a 7.8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still got it. These
a
games
memory?
These games are good. Yeah, exactly. The ability to recall things in short term. Where do we want to start?
Let's start with Transistor.
Sure. Right. The game's great. For those of you who don't know, it's Super Giant Games, second game, follow-up to Bastion. It's a lot like Bastion with a bit more slow-paced sort of tactical nature to the game, and instead of hinging on fantasy, it hinges on sort of sci-fi,
which I love.
Cyberpunk, yeah. Which I
Bastion was amazing.
I love Bastion.
A damn shame it never came to PlayStation platform.
Yeah,
I can't believe
so that's
that.
Funny because then this is on PS4 and PC,
right?
But then no sign of Xbox One in sight, which I find kind of funny. Yeah, but this is a game since the two of us I think saw it at PAX East 2013, I want to say.
Yeah.
Then we saw it at this PAX East, and we both fell in love with it. The game is fantastic. It's this 6-hour sort of melding between an action RPG and a strategy game. Gorgeous sort of anime art. This amazing story that never touches on tropes. It's about this lounge singer who loses her voice, a sword which may or may not contain the spirit of someone in her life, and then this sort of cabal that's chasing after her. Incredible music, incredible art.
The audio overall is so amazing.
Holy crap. Yeah. The entire thing hinges on music in really interesting ways, from the story to the fact that your character, she can only hum. And so there's times where, the music's playing in the background, you can hold the hum button,
which
will hum along to the music, which is...
And you just let it sit there and let it go. I was doing that.
Absolutely. It has the same narrator as Bastion, so it contains really that sort of poetic, really powerful writing. The battle system's really interesting. Really, really great upgrade system where, you'll gain skills as you level up, and you can choose to either use them as active skills. So say you get a bomb. You can use it, throw out like a little grenade and it'll do splash damage. You could choose to have it augment another skill, so your melee attack might do a little bit more splash damage instead. Or you can have it just act as a, passive buff to where, now your attack is plus 25%. And so sort of once you get about a dozen skills and you're toying with all of those and really, max or just playing with your character and seeing how you want to do that. Battle Systems has a lot of depth. As soon as I finish the story, I hop back into New Game Plus.
They're really good at
New
Plus.
Yeah, it's called something like Recharge Mode or something. It's New Game Plus.
Get
out of here, Kasavin. Yeah, Kasavage. No, I love him. I just sent him an email congratulating. I really like the game. The game's great. I think it's $20 on PSN, download on PS4. Really cool feature. For me, it's the first game to do something with PS4 controller speaker.
Oh, right.
That really impressed me. So you could choose to have the voice of the sword, who's ostensibly the narrator, come out of your TV or out of the controller speaker. And I found that weirdly evocative, having the voice talk to me out of the speaker when I was dying. You know, the sword would get all emotional and tell me to get up. I can't give up.
How the light bar works with it, too. When he's talking, it flashes with syllables.
Yeah, and there's times usually it's blue, but there's a time the sword kind of gets corrupted and it turns red. It's subtle. Interesting. It doesn't sort of get in your way or anything.
Right.
And I don't know. It could be gimmicky, but actually they nail it. So yeah, I honestly recommend this to anyone.
Michael Henry wants to put you to the test, though.
Yeah, let's go.
He says, I just got my PlayStation 4 and have exactly $20 in my PSN account. Should I buy ... Child of Light or Transistor? Owned. You're pwned right there. You reviewed
Super
Child
pwned.
Of Light, right?
No, I did not. That was Vince Ignatius.
Oh, right. That's right. He came on the show to talk about it. See, there's the short-term memory you're talking about. Don't sure. got it there anymore. But you liked it a lot.
I like Child of Light a lot. Yeah. I mean, I would say it eventually, whatever one is your first one, I would go buy the other one as your second one.
Sure.
I would say it depends on whether you want a more sort of action cyberpunk experience or an RPG-focused, you know, fantasy.
They're different games,
right? Yeah, they're different games. Yeah. I mean, I think they're both great. It sucks that you only have $20. Yeah. And steal it. Steal it from your parents.
Okay. Pirate it.
Yeah, pirate it. Can you pirate PS4 games?
Bless you. No, I don't think you can. Oh.
You could pirate Black Flag.
Yarr!
We did it, guys. All right.
I just got done sneezing and wasn't ready for it.
I want to talk about Wolfenstein now.
Hold on. I got a few questions about Transistor.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Dial it back, everybody. Put the Wolfen back in the Stein.
So with Transistor, I was surprised by how short it is.
Yeah.
But I was looking at the trophies, and it seems like there's a lot of options. I don't know if you looked at them at all. You don't give a flying fuck about them.
No,
but it just seems like there's a ton. It's a platinum, so there's like a ton of shit to do.
There's a lot. Yeah.
So is there reasons to go back? Other than New Game Plus, is there reasons to go back or play things differently?
There are. So a weird. I don't. It's not that I don't give a shit about trophies. Well, I do not give a shit about trophies. But
so you lied about them.
I did lie. Yeah. I mean, I find them sort of interesting. I don't care about. I don't know what number my trophy thing. What do you call that? Rank.
Trophy, your level.
Trophy, my level, your, or like I don't know RPG. What my gamer score is. I don't know. But so is this in pre-release games? So I was playing on, it wasn't on a debug, but I was playing before the game came out, obviously for review. The prompt would come up where it said, you got a trophy, and it was called this, and it was silver. But nowhere could I find the trophy list for the game.
That's
is that normal?
That happened to us, too.
We were talking about
okay.
Yeah.
We had the game last week, and for the first time on PS4, for people that don't know, when a game comes out early, Sony puts the trophies on their server. So sometimes they appear really early. Sometimes they don't appear until the day the game comes out. But I've never seen it. It usually lives natively on your console
PS3
and Vita. On PS4, they don't. They don't live natively on your console. And so before they went live, I talked to Greg. We had the game last week. Yeah. I'm like, where the fuck are the trophies?
Yeah, I had no idea what it was. Like, if something would pop up, you know, obviously if I beat a boss or something pop up, I would just assume it was related to that. And then other times it would just be halfway through combat and I'd be like, oh, I'm curious to see what I did. Like, did I use this attack enough, or what did I do? Did I kill enough enemies? And I couldn't, which I found weird. So I'm curious about trophies. I put no merit in them, but they're a neat curiosity to me.
If you had cared, do you think you would have given it a 9.5?
Probably. I mean, yeah, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Someone said, though, that they shouldn't trust my review because I have indie game biased, B-I-A-S-T.
I've been telling you to get that checked out by a doctor.
Yeah.
The flagrant use, not only of the T, which is a kind of a rare thing.
Yeah.
But the fact that a lot of people that like to troll don't understand the difference between bias and biased, and almost never use the right one.
Right.
95% of the time, never use the right one. I just don't understand how, you know, you are biased.
Yeah.
Biased. You are biased.
Yeah.
It's not you are biased. That doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
Like, or just use a different word.
Yeah. The source.
You're in the can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the tip.
You have a bias.
Yeah.
You are biased.
Yep.
I just wanted to kind of throw that out.
Like you have this video. Yeah.
You have a dog, or you are dogged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That worked out well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nailed it.
I'm excited to play it. I'm going to platinum Wolfenstein first.
Wolfenstein.
I got a lot of hate in my review because they were like, "Well, what you guys gave this more than Wolfenstein?" I'm like, nope, haven't. I played 20 minutes of Wolfenstein. I do not have an opinion on the game.
And that's a bad 20 minutes to play.
No, I'm excited to play the rest. You sold me on it.
No, it's a good game.
It's got a rough start.
It does. It does have a rough start. So let's talk about Wolfenstein.
Let's do it.
The New Order. Comes from Machine Games.
No.
It's their first game.
They're Polish.
They are Polish.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
And they are made up of Starbreeze, ex-Starbreeze guys.
Yeah.
So they have a good shooter pedigree. Or just like a game pedigree, generally. And I was very impressed with this game. Now, I got to be honest. With the way the people... I never played this game, and I never really looked at much.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm interested in a game, like really interested in the game. Like I'm interested in Watch Dogs, right? Yeah. I don't watch anything. Mm-hmm. Watch Dogs. Didn't mean to do that. That was a coincidence.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs. I usually ignore or avoid things. Like with The Last of Us, like we didn't really have that luxury, but with like things I don't have to do rewind theaters on or anything like that, I just ignore it. Sometimes I go into games not really even sure what the hell they are.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Yeah, it's awesome. And because I like to just go in fresh, and sometimes I'm disappointed, sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
The latter happened with Wolfenstein, because the way people, not only some people here, but people generally were talking about that game, I thought that game was going to be fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And I went in and I'm like, this game's really good. Mm-hmm. It has some issues, but what I really like about it is that I'm a big Wolfenstein fan. I actually really enjoy that series. And I liked Raven's 2009 reboot. It was very occult focused, and that was cool. And I liked Return to Castle Wolfenstein on Xbox and PS2, and like all the, you know, and then obviously Wolfenstein 3D, mm-hmm. which I replayed on PS3. The game is still awesome and so important. Wolfenstein 3D is such.
That game's on PS3?
Yeah.
Downloadable? Wow, I didn't know that.
For people that don't know, Wolfenstein 3D is essentially the very first person shooter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So some people would dispute that, but as far as the way you would recognize a first-person shooter, it is the first-person shooter. Yeah. And if you haven't played it, you absolutely should. You can't even – there's no vertical axis in the game. You can't even look up or down. You just shoot forward, but like you're running around a castle, Wolfenstein, and you're BJ Blazkowicz, and you're killing – and at the end you fight Mecha Hitler and all that kind of stuff. So I went into this game. I'm like, I don't know what to expect. And what I found was a game that was surprisingly and shockingly well-written and emotional. And it balances that emotion with kind of the over-the-top nature of what you're doing, I think, because you're fighting the Nazis as if they won World War II and have taken over the world.
Yeah. Cyborg dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's something grounded about it, and that's what I really liked about it, because with, you know, Raven, I think, is one of the most, as we've talked about many times, is one of the most underrated studios in, I think, the entire industry, and they're relegated to Call of Duty for the rest of their fucking lives now, so we're never going to see anything about them from them ever again, but they did a really nice job with setting tone in their game with Wolfenstein and Singularity and some of the other shit they did. And I feel like that kind of carried through to this, but it took a different slant. What a lot of people don't know about the Nazis is that they really were obsessed with the occult, and they really were obsessed with pseudo-archaeology and pseudo-science and all these kinds of things. They were fucking obsessed with that stuff. And, you know, they would do crazy human experiments on people to try to, like, take your bones and your muscles out and implant them on other people and all that kind of stuff. And I started to wonder when I was playing the game. We vanquished them. The Nazis were on the ropes by 1944. We put them away in 1945. If they had been given time, maybe they would have tried to do. Like, I'm not saying it would have succeeded, but maybe they would have tried some of this crazy shit. You know, we have to understand the Nazis, as I wrote in my review, you know, they call it the Wunderwaffe, which is the wonder weapon, the super weapon. And they were obsessed with the super weapon. And they had a ton of them. And some of them were crazy. They wanted to make... They wanted to make, like, aerial space guns that would feed off the sun, and then you can shoot them at the city. Like, these were real things that they, like, made schematics for and, like, wanted to build. And I was wondering, like, if they were given 15 or 20 more years and they won the war, maybe they would have tried to take people's brains and put them in the fucking machines. Yeah. Or, like, done. And not that it would have worked, but I'm like, there's something strangely grounded about this, because the Nazis were fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And instead of it just being, like, another invasion of Normandy or Market Garden, or, you know, the invasion of, you know, Berlin, racing the Soviets to Berlin, all that kind of stuff we've done a million times. This was something unique and novel, and I really liked it. And I liked how it melded the, you know, Death's Head's kind of pseudoscience and all of his tech or whatever with the more grounded story and a love story, really, that BJ Blazkowicz kind of goes through. And also the different characters and the plot in the game. So while the shooting is strong, and I think the shooting is, you know, of a good quality, really what makes it a very good game is everything else, its presentation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the one thing, I watched a video review, one thing that drove me insane is that you have to click the accept button to pick up anything in the game.
Yes.
Ammo.
Yes.
Collectibles.
You have to realize you're in war and there are choices in war.
Sure. But there is no positive to not picking the thing up. It's not like you become encumbered at any point.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So people were like, some people are really mad about this. This is why I don't really like the plus minus system in our reviews, because people don't read the review and then they go to the bottom and they think that that's the only thing you like or that's the only thing you don't like. Yep. So I put one of the things, I was like, it's like you have to kind of just tap this button constantly. Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass. Yeah. It feels very old. And everyone was like, but Machine Games is very open and it's true about trying to make a game that was a throwback. But I don't think that that's a positive thing, because like you said, why wouldn't I want all of the ammo on the ground? And why am, like, it got to the point, and I think a lot of people are going to find it when they play the game, that you're running around just tapping that button constantly because it's everywhere. There's shit everywhere. It's not like people are like, well, you love BioShock, and in BioShock you do it. I'm like, BioShock, the original BioShock had significant ammo scarcity. Mm-hmm. Like, you like, that was the whole idea, was it made you feel like I need this ammo and I don't want to spend it. In Wolfenstein, it's like you are always going to have a ton of ammo. And it just didn't really make any sense. Yeah. That didn't jive with me, and it kind of ruined the explorative qualities of the game, I think. There's also some questionable AI and stuff like that. But I do give Machine Games credit for one thing, which I thought was really cool, which was their willingness to touch on real shit that the Nazis did. So while a lot of games are about, let's go to, you know, especially with Wolfenstein, let's go to an archaeological dig where the SS is and they're digging up some crazy relic and they're going to, you know, open the Black Sun or whatever the fuck it was in the 2009 Wolfenstein. This one was more like you're going to dress up in a prison camp garb and go to a forced labor camp. And you're going to see terrible things there, just like you would see in the Holocaust, maybe. Or you let's go to a mental hospital, and you're going to see the Nazis just extinguish all of the mentally incapacitated and mentally ill people.
And after 14 years, you're going to stand up and kick some ass. Yeah.
Like, I really like that. Like, the Nazis' mistreatment of the mentally ill is well documented, and a lot of people don't know that. Like, they exterminated everybody and everything, and I liked how they were able to touch on that. And what I thought was even cooler was that they allude to in different parts of the games what the Nazis are doing in the rest of the world. And they insinuate that the Nazis are doing very similar things to our minority populations in the United States. And I thought that was like a really bold thing. They only kind of pass over it really quickly. But I was like, that's interesting because it's that's realistic. Like, that's something that they would have done if for some reason they were able to sack the United States. And they did that in Wolfenstein because they developed the nuclear bomb first.
Right.
So I felt regardless of the kind of, you know, the huge robotic dogs, there's a cool massive enemy called the London Monitor, which is in England, and you fight it in the game. Obviously these things aren't real, but it felt surprisingly grounded, and I really like that. And I like that BJ Blazkowicz for the first time ever is a person, you know, with feelings and emotions, and he cares and loves people and all these kinds of things, as opposed to just being like,
his main emotion is fuck Nazis.
Yeah. Like, think about the fornicate. No, don't actually consummate like our friend Tommy at Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Think about the box art of Wolfenstein 3D, right? He has no shirt on. He's a huge buff dude. He has like a chain gun in his hands, all those kinds of things. That's really not him in this game. And I like that. And it kind of like vacillates back and forth, especially in the beginning when he's a little more
gung-ho.
And then he like has this traumatic experience in the beginning of the game. And it fast forwards. And he still is like that grunty kind of low-talking angry dude, but like there's like more to it than that, and I think it's kind of cool.
Wolfenstein to me is a really prime example of a game that I, unlike you, I did play it at numerous events, whether it was Judges Week last year or I also played it at TGS, and it was a game that demoed really poorly. It was the story stuff never came through. They never showed any glimpses of the story stuff, so what you liked the most about the game was never shown. And they threw us sort of just in the middle of a segment. I feel like the difficulty was tuned way too high in every demo I played. I would just enter a room and die, and I'm like, well, I have not had time to actually learn this game yet. And so I feel like that was a prime example of a game that, a lot of the previews beforehand, we were just like, listen, this is we don't know. There's not much to latch onto here.
Was why I think at PAX East this year, they took you to a room, you booked it, they sat you down for the press, and it was two hours playing from the start of the game. And me and Damon kept playing, and like, I played a little bit ahead, I already knew what was coming. I'm like, how much further is it until what I knew? And then I got to what I knew, and there was more after it. Holy crap.
Yeah. So that's, you know, a lot of times you can sort of judge how a game's going to be based on preview coverage, but a lot of times, you know, there's pleasant surprises. Have you played the current gen or last gen?
No, they didn't send it to us. I'm going to go tomorrow morning and buy them.
Gotcha.
So we'll have a reviews for PS3 and Xbox 360 soon.
Yair Donen writes in and says, quick fire questions for you guys. Colin, Wolfenstein or Resistance?
Resistance is better, but they're both story-driven. I really like shooters. I don't think a lot of people appreciate that enough about me because I like, you know, some niche Japanese games and stuff like that. I really like the shooter genre, and I like playing campaigns. I play Call of Duty every year, just the campaign. You know, like, I like playing shooters, and I think Resistance mechanically is better and story-wise is better. I think character in Wolfenstein is better. Resistance 3 is probably still the most top-notch story-driven shooter of the last many years for me.
Even better than Singularity?
Yes, better than Singularity.
What? If only I had a barrel. Oh, wait, that piece of metal over there used to be a Now I got a barrel.
Raven, the pride of Madison, Wisconsin.
Raven. Should only be known for their Wolverine game. Marty. Ever rooting third chair. Team Bone or Team Boneless?
Team Bone.
Damn right.
Team Boneless doesn't exist.
There's plenty of people.
It's a fake team.
Do you remember that?
People think that there's a team that are... People think that
it's like the Buffalo Bills. Who's a fan of the Buffalo Bills?
You wouldn't get it, more.
No.
Ryan Clements, but he doesn't know what a football is.
He says, Greg, he wants me to pick my favorite girl from Arrow. He says, Greg, Sarah, Laurel, or Felicity. It's Felicity.
It is Felicity.
Come on. Yeah. What, she's funny.
Sarah and Laurel are awful.
She's cute. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Sarah's not awful. She's just an assassin who just leaves all the time.
Sure.
Let's get to some more reader mail. Nathan writes in and says, Beyond.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to play a Transistor on PS4. However, it was a game not available for preloading, which means the PS4 owners have to wait, as usual, until the PlayStation Store updates Tuesday in the mid-afternoon. Will these shenanigans ever stop? Why does the PSN Store update so late in the day?
God only knows what's going on at the PlayStation Store. I mean, this is a thing that's gone on for just
forever. Yeah.
It's gotten better.
Better to the way they most of the time they're hitting 2 p.m. Pacific Standard.
That's their goal time. Why it's not 12:01?
Sure, right.
Is anyone's guess. I also just don't understand habitually. Like it's just I just don't understand how you have so many issues getting. Like it can't be that hard. Xbox does it every week. There's no issues since 2005 with them getting their store update. It just can't be that hard. And I really feel that's because the PlayStation Network is just this mismatch. Like behind the scenes, just this complete mismatch of
old just tubes code and wires.
What is going on with preloading? They put out an update saying that was coming super soon. Is that still not there?
I don't preload games usually. Yeah. I never have. I thought it was the last update.
And that's the thing is that I thought that too, and I thought they had made a deal that Wolfenstein would be one of the ones you could preload, but it didn't take. Because people were tweeting me last night about it, saying, why can't I preload?
Yeah, I heard the game's not even installing probably for some people. I mean, they really need to figure this out because this is injuring greatly the digital kind of revolution that these first parties inevitably want to happen, even though they'll never say it because then it will injure them with their brick-and-mortar partners.
If people can't believe in digital, then they're never going
to
want digital.
Yeah, I mean, why would you – I mean, right now, Wolfenstein's a great example, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you want to buy Wolfenstein on PS4 and buy it off the PSN? It's the same price, and you have to download, like, 50 gigs.
Yep.
Then you have to install a 5-gig patch, or you can just drive to the fucking store – and pick up the disc.
Yeah.
Go get some Panda Express at the mall's food court. Get back in your car.
Wait,
do you eat at the mall or do you
home? Yeah, I prefer you to eat at the mall. Sure. See, now back in the day, if you did this, you would have open the game up like we used to do in the PS1 era maybe, or even the SNES era, have an instruction manual to read.
You don't have those anymore.
Right. No, so now you got a little piece of paper maybe, usually not, just a piece of plastic.
Telling you the URL to go get your Uplay
Bucks. It's a little more difficult. I suggest now you have your phone, so maybe you eat Panda Express, you read your phone, then you get back in your car, you put your seatbelt on, you turn on. No, not at all.
Okay. I was going to say, you're such a snob about the Chinese food in San Francisco. I couldn't imagine.
Do you have a go-to in San Francisco?
There's a Nanking is pretty good.
House of Nanking?
It's Hunan, though. It's on 9th and Irving.
Mm. Okay.
But the Chinese food here is not very good.
No, I agree.
Because it's not Szechuan.
Yeah, we've talked about this several times in this podcast.
But Panda Express reminds me of the mall, so that's why I brought it up.
Sure, no, 100%.
You can get yourself an Orange Julius.
Yeah. How about this half one? Yeah. It's only barely drink.
by the way, speaking of malls and food, I went to Serramonte a few weeks ago in the suburbs, and was distressed to find out that the Burger King that we used to go to all the time is no longer there.
Oh, no.
Because you moved away from it.
Yep.
Yeah, because you left.
There's a straight-up Burger King scarcity in the city.
Yeah.
It's a fucking shame.
Well, and the only Burger Kings are in terrifying parts of the city. Yeah.
And they're connected to gas stations.
Yeah.
Cody writes into beyond.ign.com, just like you can. It says, I love Clementine and her story, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I missed being a grown adult who can physically impose or fight people as Lee sometimes did. Do you think the third episodic installment brings the main character back to an adult character? I know there's no spoilers here, Colin.
You already spoiled it because I didn't know you played as Clementine.
You didn't.
You absolutely knew that.
Or do you think we will be Clementine next season? Do you even think we will get another season? A few questions there. I feel like
third installment isn't third season. I thought you meant like third episode of season 2, and I was like, nope.
No, he does. Do you think the third episodic installment brings the main character back to an adult character? I assume that's what he means. The third episodic installment being the third episode.
I think he means season
3. Yeah, I don't think that's what he means, though.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
Because I thought Clementine did grow up a lot in this last thing. Sure. You can see a lot about it in Playing Dead.
I don't want to talk about it.
Go.ign.com.
She drinks growth serum.
IGN Playing Dead. It's like the mutagen from Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, she becomes a monster from Space Jam.
There you go. All right, so we'll just jump ahead then. So do you think we'll be Clementine next season? Do you think she'll be an adult in it? Do you think we'll even get another season?
I think, yes, we will get another season. I think
1,000% you'll get another season.
I think it'd be cool if they provided closure to Clementine and gave us a new character. I think that's one of the cool things about The Walking Dead is that it's a universe that doesn't have to necessarily be tied to specific characters.
Right.
The comics have shown certain characters can come and go.
Yeah.
I think Kirkman has said that the universe could live on literally forever.
Right. Yeah, that's his idea. And when he started the book, he wanted a zombie movie that never ends. 100% you're getting another season. Jumping to the problem is that I would say we're with Clementine for the long haul, in another season at least. But the problem is that they like to swerve those telltale guys. You know the things you don't think are going to happen, and the things you think will happen don't happen.
Yeah.
And so that's where it gets this weird thing of like, I would see them going with her, but I wouldn't. It is the Walking Dead world that they do like to play in. Where
I mean, you could also, the gap between 2 and 3 could be decades, and you could be playing as a 30, 35, 40 year old Clementine.
Yeah. I've always thought it'd be interesting to go back to and do more stuff with what happened in the time between season 1 and season 2.
Sure.
Like, there's a whole thread there we don't know anything about, and I don't think they're really going to double back to explore it.
Maybe they should just swap casts with Wolf Among Us. You could be as Bigby fighting zombies. You just eat zombies. Idea. That'd be cool.
It's a bad idea.
That's debatable.
Okay. Yeah. Colin, you have anything to say? I know you haven't played this one. You're waiting for them all to
come
out.
No, I wait for them all to come out, and then I'll play them.
What do you think? You think there'll be a season 3?
I'm sure they'll do as many as they possibly can. I think there'll be a 4, a 5, a 6 until they see a drop-off in sales. I think they'll keep going.
Okay.
Because those games are huge. Real huge.
I like those Telltales.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Mike writes in and says, Beyond.
Beyond. Hi, Marty. Mike Wierinski. Oh.
I know you've had a lot of time with Watch Dogs, but if you had to choose between Watch Dogs and GTA 5, which would it be and why? The GTA franchise is near and dear to my heart, having played everyone that's come out, including the old-school top-down versions. But with all the content I've seen on Watch Dogs recently on IGN, it looks to be shaping up to go toe-to-toe with GTA in my eyes. I'm very much into technology and open-world games, so it's a marriage made in heaven for me, besides my wife that I love dearly.
Is this the future? Emoticon. Is this a future version of the guy from OK State? Yeah.
Mike,
we just make macaroni and consummate for... We now consummate for minutes.
I mean, hard to say. You haven't played a final version.
Yeah, sure. I've scratch the surface of Watch Dogs. It was a very long game with a lot of content. I've really enjoyed what I've played so far. I was a little burnt out in GTA 5, to be honest.
Too long for you?
A little too long. Just didn't grab me. I don't know. The characters didn't really do it for me. I thought the performances and the writing were fine. Just something about it didn't really click with me. I thought it was a little silly. I'm sort of getting a little sick of Rockstar's version of satire.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, we've talked about it before, but I was so excited about GTA 5 because I love Grand Theft Auto, and went to Tokyo Game Show, and then I had it ordered on Amazon, and it was waiting for me when I got home from Tokyo, and I played it, and I played it for like 4 or 5 hours, and I'm like, I just don't even really want to play this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was really, and I never went back to it. I was just like, I don't really want to play this game. And that was like so weird. That was so alien to me. I played the shit out of GTA 4 and the trilogy on PS2. It's like, that was weird. I love the DLC, especially Ballad of Gay Tony. I thought it was awesome.
Yep.
I turn on GTA 5 and I'm like, did I outgrow this? Am I in the wrong state of mind for this? Same thing that happened with Skyrim, even when I tried to go back to that. I was like, I don't really want to. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense because I love Fallout. And I'm just, I don't know. I vacillate. I ebb and flow, as it were, between the games I like and the games I don't. That game stares at me on my shelf every once in a while. And I'm like, should I pick you up?
And then I always kind of like wait. And I'm like, I was the same way. I haven't really like dug super deep into GTA 5. And I'm always like, I know it's going to come to PS4 and Xbox One eventually.
Good thing.
Like, shouldn't I just wait for that?
I enjoyed it, but I a lot of people were in the same boat as you guys. Like, we were, I don't know if we were, you worry about overhype, right, or whatever, in the industry or whatever, but I don't know. I was ready for it. I hadn't had that experience in a while, that goofiness of just jacking a car, jumping out, doing this, putting on a different outfit, being stupid. But because I also didn't get big into Saints Row, so I know like a lot of people had already
Saints
had
Row's
that.
Awesome,
a lot of people.
Oh, not the, I never played the fourth one. The third one was liked a lot.
Yeah, third one I could never get into, so I wasn't even like, I hadn't had my fill for a while.
I like the games. It's what we talk about with Infamous, but I thought Saints Row did it really nicely. Like, where I like games where it's like, here's a map and you can do whatever you want. And here's a campaign. Here's a side quest, and slowly you kind of, you know, chip away at like all these things, and the map fills up, and checkboxes are filled in, and side quests fall to the side. And I'm like, I like that kind of stuff where it's like, slowly you're like building building and building and getting everything done. And I like that kind of thing, but I haven't played a game like that in a while either.
Yeah, part of me, I was gonna say that I'm getting much more sort of conservative with my free time.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I love the fact that Transistor was like 5 or 6 hours. You know, I love that Super Time Force was like 2 or 3 hours. And so I was like, maybe I'm just getting like, you know, maybe I'm just kind of shying away from longer games. But then I put in like 70 hours into Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Who
Funny.
The fuck knows?
We talk about this. Paul from Toronto writes in to beyond@IGN.com, just like you can, and says Beyond. I recently realized there might be an inherent problem in the game's media. Gaming websites focus a lot of their time on upcoming titles, so they have less time to enjoy and try games that have come out in the past few years. I'm finding a larger and larger divide between my favorite games and what games media usually talks about. I feel like they are so busy with video shows and previews that they really only have time to play through quick one-off adventures like Uncharted, Assassin's Creed, and Tomb Raider, while I find my friends and I get into games with deeper gameplay mechanics like the Souls series, Armored Core, and fighting games. Do you think that the games media focuses too much on the hype train instead of appreciating the games we have now?
I don't think he's incorrect in a sense that we focus on a lot of games that are big, right?
Right.
Like, and then a lot of games, there's a ton of games that come out, like Drakengard. Like, we don't think we even previewed that game. What I think a lot of people,
Megan did a video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we did one video for it. I think that the disconnect here between some of our readers that don't quite understand it and us is that we cover what our readers care about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a chicken or the egg situation where sometimes when we talk about a game, like we always talk about internally Ni No Kuni, like we made people care about that game. Like we covered that game when no one really knew what it was. And so that was reciprocated. And then it kind of...
Same thing with Catherine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
But a lot of it, like GTA 5, like we would have been foolish not to cover that game because everyone was crazy about that game, right? And so I don't disagree that like we don't have the luxury of saying like let's talk about Skyrim for 12 months, even though everyone's playing Skyrim, because there are upcoming games and games to review and a lot of things. We only have so many hours in the day and not much free time. I mean, we don't play games at work almost ever. We play them at home. We do a lot of writing and communicating and emailing and all those kinds of things here. So I'm not saying that he's necessarily wrong. I think he kind of hit the nail on the head in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that actually that like if you looked at IGN as a whole and the employees here, that everyone kind of has different tastes that fill in the pieces of the puzzle. And so when you kind of pull back, the puzzle is filled
in. Yeah, definitely.
I think he's right. We've talked about it for a long time, right? That wikis were a big deal for us because we used to say all the time, like, once the game is released, you are the expert.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's simple supply and demand, right? Like, we have this, we get access to games that other people don't.
Yeah.
But once they're out there and the market's flooded with the game, there's a guy on YouTube who knows way more about Mario Golf than I ever will.
Exactly.
And I'm 80 hours into Mario Golf. Yeah. He knows, Lord, he's better at putting than I am.
Mario Golf lore. No, lore, like deep lore.
Oh, he knows the Mario Golf lore. Why are all these characters in Castle Club? Don't you hate Waluigi? Why are you letting him eat that cake? It doesn't make sense.
Why is he always spinning in that circle?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, the cycle is built around previews, which does hamper the ability to enjoy them after the fact. I always think about that. You know, it's the same thing at E3, right? I always kind of feel hollow when I go on podcasts after and feel like, what's the best thing you saw at E3? And it's like, well, I only saw what I covered.
Yeah.
So I don't have like this all-inclusive eye for every game. Yeah. I already saw stuff I'll never get to see.
Yeah, we sort of had that last day where everyone's like, hey, these are the three big things. Everyone try to go see them. You might have time, you might not, but everyone has their beat. Like, Colin's going to cover Sony stuff extensively. You're going to be on the live show a lot, so you're going to kind of see what you get brought to you.
Exactly. I'm going to see those games that I'm there to cover.
Exactly. So
yeah, and it's difficult. I mean, a lot of people made a stink last year when I said Infamous Second Son was my game of the show. But that was within the context of me not seeing... Like, I lived at Sony's booth, basically, because that was...
Your job.
That was my job. You know, like, I would have loved to have gone and played Titanfall or done
Mario.
Like, whatever was there that was big at the time. But it was just like, you're there, man. There's only so many hours in the day. You're running around like a chicken with your freaking head cut off. You got to go write these previews and go to these appointments. And you just... There's never an E3 that passes, and all the E3s I've been to where I'm like, man, I played everything I wanted to play, and I saw everything I wanted to see. It's just like the nature of the beast is we have to attack it as a team of 20 because it's ridiculously big, and so I only saw 20th of the games.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing. Everyone, a lot of times in reviews, look at the comments like, man, I wish IGN had multiple people review a game, and I'm like, so do a lot of us.
Yeah, we would love to do
that. But it's just, we're all running at 110% capacity. You know, we did not have time for multiple people to play through and form opinions on Wolfenstein or Transistor, you know, before the game comes out. It's just...
No, and it also doesn't make financial sense for us, right? Like, a lot of people don't understand, they understand, but they don't like to think about, like, this is a business, and is it going to affect the bottom line if we have four people in the old Famitsu style or EGM style review one game? Yes, it will, because those four people can do four different things.
So I always thought, like, when I look at old EGMs, like, did someone really finish like a 40-hour RPG and write a paragraph on it?
I doubt it, right?
Or did they just like play the first like 3 hours?
I always think about it when I think back on a magazine like EGM, PSM, those kinds of magazines. It's like, well, they only had to write 12 of those a year.
Yeah,
and so maybe they had a lot more time to play. Yeah, and a lot of less time to, even with Nintendo Power, because they're connected to Nintendo, so they would get everything. They didn't have to try.
Sure.
Like beg PR to like send a game or give them access. It's like they're going to get access. They're the official.
But if you were second opinion on something, I feel like you'd be able to. You know, especially like on the big ones. Remember, like not EGM when you have the boxes. Am I thinking of Game Informer where you'd have the big
review, you'd have sort multiple, of a sidebar,
and then there'd be a little
sidebar
thing. Yeah, exactly. That guy didn't play the whole game.
No.
Well, so
Brian Albert will know. We'll ask Brian Albert.
Strong Brian.
Is that we have to call him in now?
I don't know. I do. Okay. He's got muscles.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Podcast Beyond, episode 343. Thank you for your time, patronage, and everything else. Remember, every Tuesday, we go up as an MP3 on IGN.com and your favorite podcast server of choice. Then, Wednesday, the video goes live on IGN.com, YouTube.com/IGN, and IGN's PlayStation 4 app, which is 100% free and quite stylish. Mm-hmm. Marty. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Remember, keep up with us on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Marty is Mick Biggity.
Mick Biggity. Mick two Biggity. G's and two T's. It's my curse. It's my cross to bear.
No, yeah. Well, you'll own it, and that'll be the end of it.
Wow.
What?
I don't know. I'll own it, and it'll be the end of it. You'll that sounds
own,
terrifying.
You'll own the name, and they'll be everybody'll just assume, they'll know oh. because you promote it. I don't oh. mean like the cross. You're not going to own the cross.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Does anyone own the cross?
Punches.
I think the Romans owned
Pontius
the cross.
Pilate. Punch Bowl Pilate.
Punch Bowl Pilate. He was drunk on the parties.
Ladies and gentlemen, every Podcast Beyond ends in a segment we call Ryan's Wrap Up. You submit a song at beyond@ign.com. We play it here. This one comes from Jason. I saw it tweeted. I was happy to see that he emailed it as well. Jason says, Beyond.
Yeah.
Hi, Greg, Colin, and the ever rotating third chair. I made a Podcast Beyond rap tribute song. Hope you enjoy it. We did.
Yeah,
it's
we
totally
did.
Goofy.
Yeah, it's funny.
Here it is. He didn't put in any information on how to get it. Whatever. So enjoy. Beyond.
Beyond. Yep.
Podcast Beyond. Yeah. You already know what it is. It's Podcast Beyond. Your number one PlayStation podcast.
Beyond. Game over, Greggy, and No Taxation. Number one podcast for the PlayStation. Racing to the top, but it ain't my nation. Listen every week to the conversation. Game over, Greggy, and No Taxation. Number one podcast for the PlayStation. Racing to the top, but it ain't my nation. Listen every week to the conversation. You got Greg Miller, the number one killer. He's staring through your speakers like his name was Godzilla. And Colin Moriarty, the one-man army. Unapologetic, no filter, not sorry. And then comes the ever-rotating third chair. A new guest every week to join the pair. This combination makes Podcast Beyond. Shaken, not stirred, quote the great James Bond. They talk PlayStation, and they discuss first-party games like The Last of Us. The Roper Report keeps you in the know with PlayStation news straight from a pro. The Andrew Goldfarb Memorial List informs you of games that exist. PlayStation fanboys across the land listen to Beyond for the upper hand. Game over, Greggy, and No Taxation. Number one podcast for the PlayStation. Racing to the top, but it ain't my nation. Listen every week to the conversation. Game over, Greggy, and No Taxation. Number one podcast for the PlayStation. Racing to the top, but it ain't my nation. Listen every week to the conversation.
Podcast Beyond!
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.